Welcome to the podcast of St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, a loving, caring, overcoming community of faith where our mission is making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Welcome back to our St. Andrew's podcast. As always, we are so glad that you have joined us. We are in our series called Understanding Lent. And if you've been with us the past few weeks, you know that we have been talking about where Lent started, when it started, the historical significance of Lent. Also, we've talked about why we observe Lent and how we observe Lent. And I think that's been a really positive thing for us to come to grips with, not only when and how and where Lent came to be, but also why we do these things, why we take time out of our calendar year to observe a season that really is very kind of sad and causes us to have a lot of self-reflection. We spend a lot of time thinking about the sacrifice that Christ made for us and how that changes our lives and how we can become more like Him. So last week we had a special guest in studio with us named Mike Mathis. What an incredible man of faith he is and how wonderful it was to learn from him. And we talked specifically about what it means to not just give up something for Lent, but actually to take something on for Lent, to do something extra as a sign of our faith and to show the world what Christ means to us. So today in studio, we are really excited to have not only our senior pastor, D.A. Bennett, but also our director of membership and care here at St. Andrew's Community United Methodist Church, Laura Aldridge. And Laura, welcome to you. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. And D.A., it's always good to be in studio with you. How are you?
Thank you, Stephanie. It is good to see you today. It's so great to have Laura in here. And for those of you that are listening, I want you to know I'm looking out a window right now, and it's a beautiful spring day, so life is good.
That is so true. What a great day it is, and how blessed we are to enjoy all different kinds of weather here in Oklahoma. So, Laura, a couple of episodes ago, D.A. brought up a really good verse that he used as he thinks about Lent and he thinks about the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. It was a verse from Luke 9. Of course, Jesus is saying these words. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So as we're looking at this season of kind of self-sacrifice, but also we're talking about the importance of taking on something for Lent, not just giving up something. When you think of taking up your cross daily, I'm just curious about what comes to your mind when you think of that verse.
For me, what that signifies is taking the attention off of me and placing my thoughts and my focus more on Christ.
Yeah, that one of the things I think of when I think of that question, and it becomes very clear to me, we always want to put Scripture in its context. And after Jesus talks to them about take up your cross and follow after me, we read shortly after that that Jesus actually says, okay, so here's what you're going to do, and you're going to go out in my authority and my power, and I want you to heal the sick, I want you to cleanse lepers, I want you to cast out demons, I want you to raise the dead. And so in some ways, even following after Jesus is not always just what we might refer to as pious introspection. What do I need to do to strengthen my relationship with Christ? But I think sometimes Jesus is helping us to see to follow after me is to fully invest yourself into other people. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what you bring and what you do. So in terms of if someone said, okay, yeah, I want to invest myself in others. I want to do something that is not just depriving myself of something I like, but really can make a positive difference. Are there some things that come to your mind right away about here's what a person could do to minister to others and give themselves to others in our family of faith?
Some of the first things I think of are just reaching out to our shut-ins, our homebound, mm-hmm. those folks that we don't have the luxury to see. each week and who don't have the luxury of getting out to be in church. I think that there are many ways that we can reach out to them. We can make phone calls to them. We can send notes to them. You know, we all still like snail mail. We still like to get something in the mail that's not a bill. I think that, you know, we can take meals to them. We can offer to run errands for them. I think there's a number of ways we can reach out to folks that aren't able to be here, folks that we've just been missing. There's also ways that they can serve in the community. We have a wonderful new ministry reaching out to the homeless and feeding those folks each week a meal, just getting to know them, communicating with them. And that's an awesome ministry that we go where they are into their world and we're serving them.
Oh, that's really good. Well, I'm intrigued by the idea of helping our homebound members because I know every Sunday in service we look at their names on our screen as we are praying for people. And there's always kind of this special spot in my heart for them as I think about how their lives really are very different from my own. And I think about how their lives are different from probably a lot of our listeners because we have the freedom, the health to go about and do things through our daily lives. We're not very limited and they are. And so as you bring up homebound members, I think it's a really great thing for our listeners to be thinking about if they want to do something that shows their love for Christ, then if they were to go and visit our homebound member, that can be kind of intimidating. It's intimidating enough to go to somebody's house for the first time that you do know. So it's very intimidating to go to someone's home or a nursing home and you've never really met them before. So can you give us some tips for a successful visit of a homebound member?
I think it's good to start out with a phone call, you know, introduce yourself, give them a chance to get to know you a little bit on the phone so that they aren't quite so surprised, when someone that they've not seen with their eyes come in. You know, you've had a chance to talk to them a little bit. So I think make the phone call, ask if they're interested in visiting. Sometimes they're not, and just a phone call is sufficient, and that's what they want. They'd rather just talk with someone on the phone. I think that we need to be prepared and to understand what could happen when we go in to visit folks in a senior centers or some of whom are still living at home. It's going to be awkward. So we just need to anticipate that, be prepared for a variety of different reactions from them. A lot of times there's tears on their part. They're lonely. The fact that someone has come to visit them means the world to them. Sometimes in the conversation there will be a lot of memories brought up. So there could be tears of joy. There could be tears of, I don't want to say sadness, but just the, you know, what it was, what life
nostalgia,
was.
Nostalgia, reminiscing.
In their minds, you know, those were great times. They could be apprehensive of who this person is coming in there. What do you really want from me? Who are you really and where did you say you're from? I think that there just could be some apprehension. And so I think that most importantly, we just need to be prepared and anticipate a variety of response from them. But also just to look forward to conversation. That means so much to someone who doesn't get a lot of visits.
Well, one of the things you mentioned that, honestly, I didn't think of, but it makes perfect sense, is that sometimes someone who is shut in or homebound or maybe they're in an assisted living center is they may feel apprehensive. And part of that can be because they're confused. And if they don't know you, that would certainly say, what are you really after? So I think in that standpoint, the idea of what you're saying, make a phone call first. Try to Absolutely. Connect and build that relationship before you ever meet face-to-face can be vital. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the question that comes to my mind is, if I were going to go visit someone, not me as DA pastor, but,
right.
you know, someone just wanting to care for another person, would it be helpful if there was some identification said, hey, I am from St. Andrews Community United Methodist Church. Is there something that your office provides that could help people to be identified mm-hmm. that way?
We do have little cards, little business cards that say, you know, you put your name on, I was here, this is who came to visit, so that family members, too, that may come later can see who's been there to visit them. But we also encourage name tags, and I'd be more than happy to buy you that
you
shiny silver.
A shiny silver magnetic name tag
I will identify
you as a minister from St. Andrews.
That's exactly
so awesome.
Right.
So one of the other things I thought of as I was listening to you is I think a fear that people may have is how long do I have to stay mm-hmm. to have a good visit? You know, I mean, because sometimes we think we need to carry a conversation mm-hmm. and we're done in 5 minutes. What's a reasonable amount of time to visit someone? And maybe that changes from visit to visit, but mm-hmm. what's a reasonable amount of time for a visit?
I think depending on, of course, like you said, on the setting, on their health. You know, if we're making a hospital visit and someone's not in good health, then we don't want to be there, you know, 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
Visit with them, pray with them if that's something that you're comfortable
mm-hmm,
with.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, tell them we'll see them the next time we're there.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone who's in their own home, who doesn't get out much but still very capable of communicating and carrying on a conversation,
mm-hmm.
I would say certainly not more than an hour, but
right.
take cues from them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're willing to sit and visit and talk and you can tell that they are really enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
then I would say stick around for 30 or 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
However, on the flip side of that, if you're really digging when you're asking questions and they're not responding with anything more than a yes or no, I think take that as well and, you know, cut your visit short and continue to visit with them maybe on the phone until you've had a chance to develop a relationship.
Well, and one of the things I love, too, about some of the folks that I know who visit our Homebound members is that they often take them communion.
Yes.
And serve them communion on the, you know, the first week of the month after we have had communion here as a congregation, the first Sunday of the month. And so, too, people might be thinking, well, that gives me a reason to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that also serving communion can seem a little overwhelming or intimidating for some folks who haven't done it before. So can you tell us a little bit about the visitors, the ministers who go to visit Homebound members that serve communion? What do you encourage them to do?
I encourage them to take, we typically each month when we do communion here, there will be elements that have been consecrated and mm-hmm. blessed on the altar, along with what we're using as the church
mm-hmm.
body. And so there will be elements that are already ready to go, and you take those in to visit with someone, and you're simply serving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the body of Christ broken for you, and this is the blood of Christ that was shed for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all the words that you need to
yes.
say as you're giving. So it's painless, really. It's just like standing
mm-hmm.
And serving here in the church.
Yeah, I think that's really good for people too, because it really is a special moment when
mm-hmm.
we're able to share that with someone who was not able to be with us
right.
During a Sunday morning. Okay, so some people are going to be listening to this and they're going to be thinking, that scares me so much. I cannot
mm-hmm.
take on going to visit someone in their home, which we understand.
Right.
So if that's the case for some of our listeners, what would you say are some other ways that they could be caring for others, serving others during this Lenten season here at St. Andrews?
Earlier, I mentioned note cards, note writing. I mean, I've got note cards you can use. I'll buy your stamp. We will give you everything you need to do that. But they, you know, I encourage notes.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of these folks, you know, are email people, so that's not something that's typically good. offer to run an errand for them or go get groceries or something, if they need something picked up. You could take a meal into them. You don't really stick around long when you do something like that. You've done most of it by the phone.
You don't even have to be able to cook, because I've taken meals to people. And Truth. There's plenty of places that will you can buy meals from. So there
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
That's really great. And so are there other things unrelated to our homebound ministry that you might encourage people to be serving in? Like one of the ones that comes to mind to me are greeters, because they help to welcome people in. So are there things like that that you would say, here's something you can do extra
right
this season?
Greeters, ushers, those are things that I think of off the top of my head. You know, when you're on the rotation to do those things, you might serve once a month, and it's really pretty painless. I mean, we can all open the door for somebody. You don't have to carry on a conversation with them, someone coming through the door. It's nice, too, but, you know, if you just can't, you can shake their hand and say welcome with a smile on your face, and sometimes that goes a long way for someone who's hurting or who's looking for a church that where they can be cared for.
Or they want to be seen. That's exactly right. Okay, so I want to get personal. Are you ready?
Oh, gosh.
Okay, I know. So I'm curious, and this is for both DA and Laura. I'm curious about, do you all have a story about a time when you have cared for someone and as really a way of taking up your cross?
Okay, I've got a great story. My last semester of seminary, I was actually a chaplain's assistant for University Village, which was a retirement center that was faith-based. And so I was helping the chaplain, and my weekly responsibility was to visit people in the hospital. And other than my own grandparents and maybe some people at church, I really hadn't been around retired people or senior members of our society very much. And so the first time I did it, I actually was given notice to go visit this woman. And so I went in and I introduced myself and what I was there for. And I said, well, how are you doing today? And she said, well, the doctors say I can die at any minute. And my body stayed stationary, but my spirit went screaming down the hall in fear. You know, I don't know what to do. Let's pray. I mean, that sounded like the spiritual thing to do. But then the next week, I had to go back and visit her again. And I'm like, oh, wow, she's still alive. This is good. I wonder what's going on. That prayer must have really helped her a lot. But when I went in, somehow or another, I guess I surprised her, and she was taking a drink of something, and she kind of spit it out and made a mess, and she was just finishing up dinner, and she said, I've got something in my teeth. And I said, okay. And she goes, I need you to get this out of my teeth. And I'm like, let me call a nurse. I'm not really trained to do this. And then it was, puh, and she spit her dentures out into her hand and asked me if I could clean her dentures. And that time I just started cracking up laughing. And of course I had to write reports on this for class. But what a pleasure to know that I was so completely out of my league. But I believe this dear woman is in glory by now. But she did appreciate me just being there. And I'm sure if she is in glory listening to me telling this story, she goes, that's a guy I've been telling y'all about. You know, it was funny, but it taught me a lot about caring for people.
Yeah, you're the laughing joke of heaven, you know, while they're talking about that.
So great. What about you, Miss Laura?
Well, the one that comes to mind is not near as funny as DA's, but it happened in a time of my life that I should have been enjoying, you know, being a high school student, enjoying my senior year in high school, but instead I chose to kind of forego the fun times with friends and events to help care for a sick family member. And I did it just out of love for them, of course, but then for other family members who were responsible for caring for this person a lot, I felt like that I was able to kind of give them a reprieve and to spend time and help care for this person. And those were times that I was still in school, so I should have been doing schoolwork. I wasn't. I should have been having, you know, just fun, and I opted to help care for someone else.
Wow, that is really special.
That's self-denial
right there. That is self-denial. You are so right, and what a good example for us too. So, friends, this has been really fun. Laura, thank you for sharing us from your heart and your expertise. We are so blessed to have you here at St. Andrews, and we are very glad that we get to share this with you all, our listeners, as well. So I hope you will continue to tune in with us. We will have our next Understanding Lent episode available for you next week as well as we continue on in this journey and on our discipleship pathway. I hope you remember that we would always love to see you here at St. Andrews. Our services are on Sunday mornings at 8:15, 9:30, and 10:50. And of course, we're online, Facebook Live and YouTube Live at both 8:15 and 10:50 as well. And if you have things you want us to discuss during the series, then send that to us. You can find DA's information and my contact information on our St. Andrews website at saokc.org. We'd love to hear from you. Any feedback that you have, it helps us to grow as well. So we are thankful for you, and we hope that you have a blessed day.